This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, Big Daddy, how you doing?
And off we go into hour number two. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, who I will only refer to as the sports bimbo like 4 to 6 more times. Tops. 6 to 8 more times. Tops. 6 to 8 more times today. Tops.
No, that's a little too much treble in it.
It is a little bit. It is a little bit. And I'm all about that bass. About that bass. No treble. Meghan Trainor lyric being dropped on the show. We're well-rounded, and I'm not just talking about physically. All right.
It's all about bass and then well-rounded and then...
All about that bass, about that bass, no treble. All about that bass, no treble. That song slapped. I don't care what anybody says. That song ripped. Meghan Trainor had a run there going for a hot minute. And then L. King stepped up and kind of took her to the woodshed a little bit. That's a 2015 pop culture conversation. I mean, again.
Who's L. King?
L. King sang a song, X's and O's, they want me.
Oh, okay. I know that song.
I think it's L. King. I'm like 90% sure that's L. King. I mean, I'm not now, but wow. I was when I said
wow.
it.
Wow. See, I was all ready to look that up to see. Now I'm going to have to.
I'm going to say it's L. King. I'm going to say that's the correct name. Either way, there was a hot minute circa 2015 where the ladies of pop were putting on a show.
You are correct.
Hell yeah. I mean, if there's one thing I know, it's mid-2010s pop queens, okay? And I've upgraded, I've translated that. I got to tell you. 10 hours in the car down, 10 hours in the car back over the past 6 days, and the lady friend, you know, we're a give and take relationship. We split who gets to listen to what on the drive. So, like, we'll spend 45 minutes where Rob Brown's listening to a Brian Cox lecture on quantum physics, and then she'll take over and play, you know, Chapel Roan and whatever the hot music of the day is. And I'm going to tell you right now, kind of dig this Sabrina Carpenter chick a lot right now. Kind of dig some, like, I know she's been in the public limelight for a couple of minutes now, and I'm a little late to the party. I usually am. I usually don't get into whoever's on the top of the charts when they're on top of the charts. Like, I need a month or two.
Booker T, you mean her music, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh. Booker T calling what is very clearly his favorite move in wrestling is just absolute gold right now. But got to listen to a little Sabrina Carpenter. I'm kind of in. She's kind of good. I'm kind of a fan. All right? So you can put Sabrina up there with Chapel Roan and the 40-year-old white guy Rob Brown is getting down to a little pop princess music here and there. Judge me, I don't care.
I saw her on Saturday Night Live's special.
She's funny as hell.
She is.
But she's great.
I don't know what style of music does she do.
Just pop. Just okay. Just pop. And again, like it's you've.
I'm not sure she has a neck. Am I thinking of the right person?
I'm gonna say no, but I can't say for sure no. I'm gonna say I think no. Sabrina Carpenter is I think it's fair to say she's an attractive young lady. I don't think I'm stepping out of the zone of appropriateness by saying that she's an attractive young lady. There's a reason.
All right, there is neck there, but the front pictures make it look like it doesn't exist. I'm just saying.
She works the angles, man. She works the angles. She knows it's all about the angles. It's all about the Instagram angles.
Good for her.
Once you know the angles, man, like half of being a photogenic person is knowing the angles. I realized that after like picture number 6 with the wife, because she's got the pose, Lonzo, which is 45-degree angle to the camera, all right? Front leg goes up in front of the other, up on a toe, all right? So you got the knee bent and the thigh out. Then you take the hand, you put it on the back, not on the side of the hip, on the back of the hip, and you make a claw. You don't just put it there. You make a claw with the fingers like that, and then you tilt the hips away from the camera. It elongates the torso. It allows you to present your best assets forward, and then you cock the head back into the side because that lengthens the neck. It gets rid of the double chin a little bit, right? And that's the pose.
I would say if you need some help, you should talk to Roy downstairs because he seems to have a pose.
Angles,
also.
Baby!
And, you know,
it's a social media world. If you don't look good on the internet, you ain't going nowhere, all right? That's just the world. I think I've told you this story before. I don't know. When I worked for the TV station, I got two TV stories that have stuck with me. Then we're getting to the water cooler cheat sheet. I got two stories. One, when I first got hired for the TV network a very long time ago, I got hired as just a reporter, an all beats reporter. Anything happening in Okaloosa County, Rob Brown was the man on the scene to cover it. But when I got in, I got the foot in the door, and I started talking to my boss then, who hilariously is actually a news director of one of our TV stations here now. He and I have reconnected here. When I got that job, and he said, what's your long term? What do you want to do? And I was like, look, dude, I want to be a sports director of a TV network, right? Like, I want to be the sports director. I want to be the guy who comes in here and does the 10 o'clock sports. Everybody, he's going to whatever games he wants, sending people out, whatever. And he said, well, you're going to have some work to do. He said, you've got the talent, you've got the personality, you've got the voice, you've got the presentation. And I said, what do I need to do? And he said, drop about 40 pounds. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. And he didn't laugh like at all. Story number two was that on the very first day, the very first day that I was on television, and if this story doesn't make Lonzo laugh, I don't know what will. The very first day I was on television, I was doing a story down at the Destin Harbor with a young lady by the name of Laura Hussey, who was the number one reporter in the county. She was getting promoted
Did
to...
Did you say Hussey?
Yeah, her name is Laura Hussey, and she was a very sweet lady. I did not know why she didn't pick a stage name. Not my business. Anyway... We went out.
Well, Hussey kind of stands out.
I mean, it did stand out. Still does. She's still down there. She's still the morning show anchor on WEAR Channel 3 in Pensacola, Florida.
So shout out to her for still being Hussey.
Shout out Laura Hussey. Taught me everything I know about TV. Very first day on the job, they sent me out to the Destin Harbor. I did a story on red tide. Dead fish everywhere. It was awful. So I did this story and
okay,
I went
not
back.
Not the Sean Connery movie? I think
correct. That was, no, that's Red October.
Okay, I was Red something.
Red Tide is an algae bloom that kills all the fish in a particular area. So I did the story. I go back to the studio. I edit my package together. I put a wonderful package on TV and it airs on the 6 o'clock news. First time I've ever done a story on TV. I was real proud of it. It was a good story. I made the science behind Red Tide really entertaining because I'm good at this.
You didn't use a chart, did you?
I did not use a chart. They would not let me use a chart. I had a lot of pictures of dead fish. So I put the Red Tide package on TV, and it airs, and I call the madre, my own dear sweet mother, and I say, Mom, did you see the news piece? And she said, I did. And I said, what'd you think? How'd it go? And she said, I think you looked great. I think you sounded great. She said, honestly, I love you, but I think you probably need to lose a couple of LBs, which she wasn't wrong. I was hefty at the time. I was butting like 280 at the time. I was a big boy. I was like, well, you know, Mom, the camera adds 10 pounds. And my mother says, how many cameras did they have pointed at you, son? I still haven't recovered from that. That was like 10 years ago. I still have not bounced back from that moment.
She still texts you like a couple times a week. I'm wondering what she says and does.
I think in her, like, she's trying to pretend that she didn't say that. And for the record, I think that's the funniest thing anybody's ever said to me. Like, it's one of those things that, like, years later, you're like, damn, my own mom burned the hell out of me. But it was hilarious, and I'm going to give her that. How many cameras did they have pointed at you? Cool. Thanks, Mom. Hey, let's do the water cooler cheat sheet. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers or whoever it is that you're going to talk to. This is what you will be talking about. Let's dive right in to item number one. Texter said, thanks, Rob. I have X's and O's stuck in my head now. What do you want? It's slapped. The song was catchy, man. The song was a hook. It was catchy.
They've been using that on commercials lately, too, so maybe that's why.
I mean, if it's back, it's back, and I'm good with it, all right? Item number one, a pair of play-in games last night saw a pair of teams make it into the field of 64 as we whittle the first eight down to the final 64 that will begin the dance tomorrow morning. Alabama State, the Hornets, baby!
You need to give this game a little love.
I do need to give this game a little love.
It was back and forth the entire time, and that ending was excellent. I watched that entire game, and that was a lot of struggles early on, but then the three-pointers started hitting, and it was a little fun to watch.
0.7 seconds left on the clock. Alabama State on the inbound, and ladies and gentlemen, the March Madness got real mad real fast because with an inbound under the basket, 0.7 seconds left on the clock, and Alabama State gets the Hail Mary full court pass layup for the dub. And just like that, with a 70-68 win over the Red Flash of St. Francis, the Alabama State Hornets are in the bracket. They are not alone because perhaps, just maybe, the most controversial selection to the field that I can remember, and I mean this in my career. The Tar Heels of North Carolina had their crack at a play-in game last night, and boy, howdy, did they get the job done. 95-68, the Heels knock off the Aztecs of San Diego State. They are in. R.J. Davis had 26. You got 16 off the bench from Seth Trimble, 12 from Van Allen Lubin, and the Heels are now moving on as well. We do have two
They don't belong there, Rob. They're not supposed to be there. It's controversial. Everyone's angry about them being there.
Well, let's hold
Why
on.
Are they there?
Sorry.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hold our horses just a little bit here. It was a play-in game. We're not talking about a round of 32, a Sweet 16 30-point victory. We're talking about a play-in game.
So all those people who are angry about a play-in game?
Correct.
Okay.
Because a play-in game is still getting you an opportunity to punch a ticket that Indiana didn't get that pot. The Ohio State Buckeyes had a better argument than the Heels.
You know how they should have got in? They should have won more games. Talking about Ohio State. Same with Indiana. You should have won more games.
I mean,
you didn't. If you won more games, it wouldn't have been in question.
But they won more games than North Carolina did. That's the point.
Should have won.
They did win more.
Should have won more quad one or quad two games or whatever those quad.
Now you're getting it. Now you're getting into the nerd conversation like the rest of it. Now you're getting into the go outside nerd conversation like the rest of us. We do have two more play-in games tonight. A pair of Sweet 16 teams, Mount St. Mary's and American, will be playing at 6:40. Then a pair of 11 teams, Xavier and Texas, will square off at 9:10 p.m. The winner of those two games are on their way to the tourney. We do also have NIT action on the way, including your Furman Paladins, FU one time, FU two times, FU three times. Say it with me, FU all the time. Are on the road at the North Texas Mean Green Tip at 8 o'clock tonight in round one of the NIT and the Furman Paladins 8.5-point dogs. Low over-under in this one of just 130.5. A couple of defensive stalwarts getting at it tonight in college basketball.
What you can hear right here live on the air. With Dan Scott, starting at 7:30 tonight on The Fan.
You are correct, sir. That is exactly correct. That action will tip at 8 p.m., little pregame early, little postgame late with Dan Scott and the gang live from Texas this evening. Let's rapido through items 2 and 3. Item number 2. Big NFL news coming down yesterday. We're going to talk about this coming up here in just a moment. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins will remain Cincinnati Bengals. Both of them getting themselves new long-term extensions yesterday. A couple of weeks ago, T. Higgins got the tag. A couple of weeks ago, teams like the Carolina Panthers were calling up Cincinnati going, yo, we give you like a lot to get that guy wearing our colors. Turns out that the two of them and quarterback Joey B were all on the same page when those two guys signed long-term contracts. Ja'Marr Chase, $161 million deal. It is the highest average annual salary for a non-quarterback in league history. T. Higgins' deal, a $115 million deal that will carry him through 2028. I'm going to put that on the back burner for now because I am coming back to that here in just a minute. So let's dive into item number 3. Hockey fans in Sweden have been watching their squad, their country, put out a lot of talent for a long time. They've been sending players to the National Hockey League for a long time, and now they'll get an opportunity for some of them to come home. Why? Because the NHL is sending more games international. They announced yesterday that the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins are headed to Stockholm, Sweden to play a pair of games next season in November. Sid the Kid Crosby and the Penguins will take on Steven Stamkos and the Preds on November 14th, and then again 2 days later on the 16th. It'll be the Penguins' first trip to Europe in 17 years. It will be the first Preds game in Sweden. However, it will be the third time in franchise history that they have played outside of North America. The league has said for a while, since the beginning of the Global Series that kicked off back in 2017, that their goal has been to allow fans from a particular country every year to not just experience the NHL, but to send players, great players, all-star caliber players from those countries to those countries to allow them to play. Six Swedes between the two teams includes three-time Norris Trophy winner Carlson and Forsberg, Sweden's seventh all-time leading NHL goal scorer. There are other players in this that are going to be playing in front of their home country for the first time wearing their NHL gear, not their team's international gear. And I'm going to tell you, as much as I am on board, as much as I am happy to see teams expand, if we're going to do it right. And this is a great way to do it. If we are going to send teams to play abroad, send it in a way that the fans are going to get jacked up and excited about it. Don't send the New York Giants to Germany. Send the Chiefs. Don't send the Seattle Seahawks to London. Send the Chiefs. I don't know. Send somebody good.
Philadelphia.
Send Philly. That way people won't burn down houses and stuff. I really like this. I like this. You're sending six of the best hockey players you have, all from Sweden, to go play in Sweden. I think it's great. Swedish Chef. That's a Muppets reference. We've gone from Meghan Trainor and Elle King to the Swedish Chef.
I thought you were making fun of Patrick Mahomes there for a second. Disrespectful.
Patrick Mahomes here. I was going Swedish Chef, who is, I'm going to say, unironically, easily the second best Muppet. Is there anybody here that wants to argue that Gonzo's not number one? Gonzo's number one. It's not even a fight. Fozzie Bear's up there.
What about Scooter?
Scooter's great.
Sam the Eagle.
I love Sam the Eagle. But
anybody in the band, Dr. Teeth.
I mean, Electric Mayhem, baby.
Yes.
Untouchable band. Untouchable band. But like Gonzo was willing to lay it all on the line for all of us, for our entertainment. My man's jumping motorcycles across the Muppet Show variety show stage. You can't touch it. And then there's Swedish Chef. We got to run to a break. I'm Rob Brown, the sports bimbo Lonzo. I'm sorry. Kinda. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. You know, sometimes the sports world taketh, but sometimes the sports world giveth. Yesterday morning, we left New Orleans, Louisiana at 6:30 in the a.m. portion of the day, or as I like to describe it, at 2:00 in the morning. We had to get back. We had a lady who was house-sitting the dog for us. We're like, all right, let's get back. Let's give the dog some time to chill out before bedtime. Let Rob Brown have some time to put a show together, figure out everything's going on in the sports world, yada, yada, yada.
When did you cross the timeline?
About 11 o'clock yesterday afternoon, or yesterday morning, which then turned into yesterday afternoon for me as I time traveled into the new time zone. About 9:30, little Atlanta traffic, pushed it a little closer to like 9:45 in the car. And as I was driving down the road out of the great state of Louisiana, I was looking for something to listen to. It was very early in the morning. It was too early for the wife to allow me to throw a little Shoot to Thrill by AC/DC, my hype-up song of choice, on the player. So I was, you know, kind of skipping around. I pay a little bit monthly to have SiriusXM so I can tune into my good friend Cody Decker on his international show, et cetera, et cetera. And when I turned on the satellite radio, I got a little notification that said, hey, Major League Baseball's live. And I went, oh, that's right. And so my wife, who I believe immediately regretted her decision, said, yeah, if you want to listen to baseball, that's fine. So I spent about 2 hours in the car listening to Cubs-Dodgers yesterday. Dodgers start off 1-0 after a win over Chi-Town. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We're doing it again right now. It is 7:27 in the morning, and Shohei Ohtani is at the dish in a real, live, competitive, the record counts Major League Baseball game.
So this isn't preseason?
This is real on the books.
Opening day happened? Baby. When was that?
Literally yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday or a little bit in the last segment with the NHL announcing that they are sending two games between the Preds and the Penguins over to Sweden in the 2025-26 NHL season, November of this year. We'll have a couple of early morning hockey games when the Preds and the Pens get together in Sweden. There are two games taking place in Tokyo, Japan, in the Tokyo Dome, site of some of the most legendary professional wrestling matches of all time. Well, they've converted it into a baseball. I mean, it is a baseball stadium. It's a wrestling stadium they play baseball in, but it's a baseball stadium. Shohei Ohtani and his Dodgers taking on the Chicago Cubs, the Windy City Saints. And I got to tell you, I was already gassed, juice, electrified, ready to roll.
Just trying to take his ankles out. What's going on?
Hey, man, if you want to go get Shohei, you throw low and inside, you back him off the plate because his power alley's on the right-hand side.
Well, that was a mistake.
And that's what happens when you don't, Lonzo. Shohei takes a 99-mile-an-hour four-seamer. Oh, 2 feet shy of dinger number one. For Shohei. They said it hit the yellow line. It cleared. So in the top of the fifth, already up 5-2, Shohei Ohtani goes yacht for a two-run shot to put his Dodgers up by more runs than they already were. That guy is, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, very good at baseball.
So in the psychology of baseball, the guy threw it at his ankles.
Twice.
Thinking that he was going to be concerned about, you know, his ankles, and then he throws one right there.
So Shohei Ohtani, a power hitter, obviously, arguably the best hitter in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani is a guy who he is scariest when he can get the bat extended. He's an outside hitter. He wants that ball out over the far side of the plate, gets those arms extended, and he powers through. So with a guy like Shohei,
well, we have an umpire review.
We sure do, because I didn't think it hit above the yellow line. It doesn't have to clear the fence. It's got to hit the yellow line or above to be a dinga. And so they are going to review to see if it did. This ball got hit 1,000 miles in the air, and that is, I'm going to say hit a fan, but I'm going to say it cleared the fence. I'm going to say that's a dinger. I'm going to say that's going to count. Oh, yeah, that thing's 3 feet clear of the yellow line.
Yeah, a fan knocked it back into play.
Yeah, fan did not make the catch, which, if you're with me, you never hear
you know,
the end of that.
If that fan had a glove, he would have caught it.
And you know what he would have lost? His dignity. Instead, he just lost the baseball, but not his dignity. Shohei goes
maybe
yard.
A finger. That thing's got to be
Things cooking
pretty quick.
First home run of the season for Shohei Ohtani is a solo shot to right center. Puts the Dodgers up 6-2 in the top of the fifth. Baseball's back, baby. I was already gassed from being, you know, had a nice little four-day vacation with the weekend wedged in the middle. I was already feeling real good, and now I tune in just in time to watch. I've said it before, I'll say it again, the best baseball player in the history of the game of baseball go yard for the first time. Shohei had a stand-up double yesterday. Last year, this man had 99 extra base hits. That's insane. That was a DH who won the MVP. We've been talking for a while now about LeBron James and how at 40 years old, what LeBron is doing, averaging plus 28 points a game, averaging 10 boards, 7 assists per game. My man's like a solid couple of games away from averaging a triple-double at 40 years old, and how, like, even if you don't like the guy, if you're not watching him right now, you're missing out on history. Shohei Ohtani's doing that, but it ain't because it's 40. Shohei Ohtani's just the best baseball player I've ever seen. Ever. Ever. And we get an opportunity here at 7:32 in the morning to tune in and watch it. I am for more international games, great one, if only because you and I get to turn on the TV at 7:30 a.m. and watch baseball that counts. Let's do this with every sport. Like, I am off. There's a conversation going on right now that has picked up steam in the last couple of weeks that apparently there's some discussion, elevated discussions, in the National Football League to play an international Super Bowl. That there are authority figures in the world of the NFL that have genuinely asked the question, should we send a Super Bowl to London? We're trying to court them. We're trying to win them over. We're trying to grow the fan base. Because, again, there will be a fan, there will be a team there in the next decade. I suspect Jacksonville, but whatever.
This is selfish of me, probably, but I don't care because I can't afford to go to the Super Bowl here. So, what do I care if it goes somewhere else?
You want an 11 a.m. Super Bowl?
Yes, Super Bowl on I absolutely do.
Okay, all
right. That would be awesome.
All right, that's unfair. That's unfair. For those of us that have to get up at 3 o'clock in the gosh darn morning on Monday, that is unfair. There are very few times that Liberob the Woke Warrior is going to sound this way. But, like, that's ours, right? Like, we're all on board with that's ours. Even if I can't afford Super Bowl tickets yet, even if I can't justify going, that's ours. That's our thing. Like, I don't care if London or Germany or Brazil or Mexico or Canada or whatever get a team. In fact, I'm kind of for it, to be honest. I'm kind of for it because to me, more football means better football. Opening up not just NFL Europe, like, it's a good idea. The NBA's European League, it's a good idea. I think it's good for the growth of the game because you're going to find more football players, more basketball players in a global audience than you are by making everybody come here. I'm fine with. Hell, I'm even an advocate for some teams being international. Let's make it a true world championship. But not the Super Bowl, man. Not the Super Bowl. I will say this. I'm 1,000% on board for competitive baseball at 7:32 in the damn morning. Let's go. All right, when we come back, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, both get long-term extensions with the Cincinnati Bengals. And I want to attack this from the Joe Burrow perspective because I think we talked about how there's going to be a philosophy change with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, the way the draft is about to jump up in priority for NFL teams. I think you're about to see something remarkable around quarterbacks in the NFL, and I'll tell you what that is when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio, baby. It's the Fan Upstate. Cincinnati Bengals, an interesting offseason story because last year this team had a quarterback who was threatening the 5,000-yard mark in Joey Ice Ice Baby Burrow. And yet they didn't make the playoffs. And they didn't make the playoffs for two reasons, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion. The first reason they didn't make the playoffs was because their defense stank last year. The second reason they didn't make the playoffs was because despite throwing four threatening 5K yards, Joe Burrow spent more time than any one person should in their life running for his life. Their offensive line was bad last year, too. And it created a world where Joe Burrow had an all-time quarterbacking season and his team didn't go to the NFL playoffs. And in a league where it almost feels a given that if your team has a quarterback threatening 5,000 yards, you're going to the playoffs, it was honestly kind of a shock that they did not get in. So, here we go into the offseason. I'm coming to a point. This is not a Cincinnati Bengals segment. Stick with me. We come into the offseason, and I said I think there's going to be two primary objectives here for the Bengals. And neither one of them is to get an extension done with Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins? My thought was, they're going to find a way that they are going to be able to re-sign Trey Hendrickson, their Pro Bowl defensive end, and upgrade their offensive line, up to and including a belief that a T. Higgins might be on the trade block in return for a couple of offensive linemen starting caliber, or at least one Pro Bowl caliber offensive lineman, and a couple of draft picks. Yesterday it was announced that both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase have signed extensions with the team. Ja'Marr Chase is now the highest paid non-quarterback in the National Football League. T. Higgins, who was franchise tagged a few days ago, is going to be staying there with a deal worth $115 million. So the Bengals have stacked their passing game and have done nothing to fix a defense that was an embarrassment last year, and have done nothing to keep Joe Burrow upright and keep those icy white jerseys clean, which is very interesting. Albert Breer was on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week, and he broke down kind of how we ended up in this spot, and there's an interesting take right in the middle of it that I want to break down. So, Albert Breer on the Rich Eisen show says there's a couple of things that came into play here. The first was that Joe Burrow was in management's ear, that Joey B was saying, I'd really appreciate it if you guys could get my top two weapons signed and like here, which good. Because I did go into last year saying, early and often, hey, listen, this team is on the border of becoming irrelevant. And they should not be. Because Joe Burrow is one of the what's fair top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL for certain. Maybe, top five quarterbacks in the NFL?
Maybe top five.
I would dare say I could make the argument Joe Burrow's inside the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. As far as I'm concerned, tier one is Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. I would say the worst power ranking that I would allow you to pull off Joe Burrow would be number four. That's the lowest I would allow you to rank Joey B without catching smoke from me. So Joe Burrow says, whoa. I'm a top four quarterback in the NFL. I would make the argument. I'd take him, I don't know. I'd say you got to put him behind Mahomes, although Mahomes is going to have to prove next year that the Super Bowl was a one-off. I mean, I'm kind of tired of people pretending like that team didn't just dominate everybody up till the Super Bowl. I mean, Allen just got paid big time. I don't know. I would say this. You guys know I love me some Josh Allen. I don't know. I'd probably take Joey B ahead of Josh Allen. And that's saying something, right? Whatever the case is, it is inexcusable that they had a year out of Joe Burrow that they had last year and they didn't make the playoffs. So Joe Burrow goes to the team and goes, yo, I want my guys. And the Bengals acquiesce to his request. You got it, Joey B. Both of them not just signed, but signed for fat stacks, which, of course, minimizes the amount of available dollars that they can go, I don't know, re-sign Trey Hendrickson. Because while they gave him permission to go find a trade partner, that doesn't mean they can't re-sign him if they want to. It takes capital off the table that they could utilize to go get an offensive lineman to keep Joe Burrow, you know, again, unsacked, unbeaten to a bloody pulp in Cincinnati, Ohio. The second interesting thing that happened here was that Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins got on the same page with each other. As Breer pointed out, T. Higgins actually fired his agent and hired Ja'Marr Chase's agent. What does that mean? That means the guy that's in charge of one deal is in charge of both deals. That means that guy can come to the table and say, hey, look, I'm not saying that if you don't sign one, you're not signing either. I am saying if you don't sign both, you're not signing either. And would you look at that? They're both staying in Cincinnati, Ohio. I have talked the last couple of years now, and I feel pretty good about saying it's obviously more true now than ever before, that players over the past couple of years, and I think this is good, but we'll see. Players over the last year have increased the amount of bargaining and negotiating power that they hold with these teams. Because had the Bengals said, you know what? We don't feel like we're being, we are not going to allow ourselves to be held hostage here. So we're not signing either one of you. That's fine. Because some other NFL team would have said, oh, y'all boys then. Y'all want to ride together. Cool. We got room. We'll sign you both. And some other NFL's passing attack would have got a whole heck of a lot better. Maybe at the expense of a defense or an offensive line, you know, like Cincinnati's. But somebody would have done it. And the problem therein lies that not only does your team get demonstrably worse, but it gets demonstrably worse and your top four quarterback in the league looks at your team and says to them, you just let my top two guys go be somebody else's top two guys? Nick Saban, what are we doing? Which means that a year or two or three or whenever it comes up down the line, when it's time for Joey B to decide if he wants to be a Bengal for life or not, Joey B might look at that same team and go, hey, and decide he's out. And now all of a sudden, you went from having, yes, a very expensive passing attack, but a very expensive passing attack that was real good, to losing two of the top 7, 8, 9, 10 wide receivers in the NFL and one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the NFL. The Bengals had to get these deals done or the team would have imploded. Cincinnati would have been back to the Cincinnati Bengals of old. We would have taken the E away and put a U back in and right back to the Bungles they go. They had to do this, and they had to do it because the players stacked everything in their favor by continuing to produce. Texter just said, wide receiver is the most overvalued position in football. The Patriots and Chiefs proved it. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Guys like Mahomes, guys like Allen, guys like Burrow can take guys that would stink with average quarterbacks, and they can elevate them to be Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, but Burrow doesn't have that problem.
Burrow does not have to do that.
Yeah, those two receivers are not also Rams that would be bad anywhere else.
Oh, they're top of the league guys. Like I said, I think you have probably two of the top nine wide receivers in the National Football League on the same offense there. The problem is, in order to have those two guys, you have to sacrifice elsewhere. And for the Bengals, that's on defense and that's on the offensive line. You know, the two things that effectively kept them out of the playoffs last year. The problem is because the wide receivers and the quarterback are all boys. They're all buddies. They're all totes BFFs, you guys. They effectively said without saying, we play together or not at all. And if the Bengals allowed a quarterback in Joe Burrow to eventually walk because he looks at the team and he goes, you guys took away my weapons. You took away my guys. You let my guys walk somewhere else. So guess what? Deuces, I'm out too. And now all of a sudden, the Bengals not only don't have two of the top nine wide receivers in the National Football League, but now they also have just watched a Hall of Famer walk out the door. Here's the fun part. There's not a damn thing the NFL teams can do to prevent this. Because on one hand, I want to build great chemistry between my quarterbacks and my wide receivers. On one hand, I want my quarterbacks and my wide receivers to have the type of relationship that Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase have. On the flip side, this becomes a problem. This is an issue. Because these two guys wanted two of the highest AAV salaries in the National Football League to continue to be Bengals. And if they didn't give them to these two guys, there's a very good chance that Joey B walks out the door the first second he's got the opportunity. And you don't get Joey B's very often. You don't. This is a direct ramification of the NFL over the past handful of years, not just watching football at its highest level evolve into a quarterback game. The NFL pushed it to become a quarterback game. The NFL implemented rule changes to make it a quarterback-driven league, something we all agree that it is. So when you spend that much time and energy and effort making the NFL a quarterback-driven league, making football at its highest level a game that is dictated by the quarterback more than anybody else in the building, you run the risk of eventually a quarterback saying, look at me, I'm the captain now. I'm the general manager now. I'm going to pick the guys that I want, and if you don't get those guys for me, I'm gone. I'm out. See ya. And if a guy like Joe Burrow leaves, you got to get lucky as hell to find another one. And look at this NFL draft. We are now 40 some odd days away from the draft. And there is no one that has a genuinely strong feeling that Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart or anybody in this class is going to be anywhere close to a Joe Burrow. So even if the texter's right when he says wide receiver is the most overvalued position in football, even if they're right, I'm here to say he is right. She is right. That individual, that texter is correct. I will agree with that. The problem is that quarterback is the most valuable position. And if a quarterback gets on a page and goes, these are the dudes I want, these are the dudes I'm going to play with, and if you don't hook it up so I play with them, then I'm out. Your entire franchise walks out the door. Because again, Joe Burrow is one of the top four. And the fall off, I would argue, from quarterback four to quarterback five is massive.
As a player guy, you okay with this? Because that's kind of them. I mean, they don't have to sign those contracts.
They sure
still.
Don't. They sure don't. Bengals don't have to offer. This is kind of one of those spots where I'm like, hey, if you're Cincinnati and you're going, that's too much to ask. You don't get to push us around like this, Ja'Marr, T, and Joey B. You don't get to push us around. The consequence of that is that your whole franchise walks out the door, and you get to decide what's the valuable decision here. Who the hell said running an NFL team has to be easy? It doesn't. It's a tough spot to be in. But do you want an offensive trio that's going to give you 5,000 yards through the air and figure it out somewhere else? Or do you want to have a stacked O-line, a stacked defense, and Russell Wilson as your quarterback? I'll let you decide. You know what I will also let you decide? If you should stick around for the next 60 seconds for Lonzo Sports Flash, you should, because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, all those factors you just made, none of them went to the Super Bowl or won it. Well, Russell Wilson did a long time ago. First tournament win in the 2025 NCAA Championship Tournament belongs to Alabama State, who hit a game-winning layup with 0.7 seconds left to knock off St. Francis 70-68. The Hornets had 16 from Amar Knox, 11 from T.J. Madlock, and 10 from C.J. Hines. In the win, Alabama State will move on to play number one overall Auburn in the first round. North Carolina was one of the most criticized tournament bid earners in recent memory, but added to their argument with the first four win over San Diego State, 95-68. R.J. Davis led all scorers with 26, followed up by Seth Trimble's 16 and a dozen from Van Allen Lubin. UNC will play Ole Miss in round one. Make sure you tune in tonight at 7:30 as the Furman Paladins take on North Texas in the NIT.